John Farrell is a name that may come up at some point. If he even entertains it, though, I think he should be fired immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Fired immediately if it pops into his head. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN Jays analyst. You agree with me, right, Steve? Fired immediately if Shapiro even thinks of the name John Farrell.
Listen, I think Odogonov's got a better chance of being the manager than does John Farrell of the Blue Jays. So,
okay. You like Odogonov, Steve?
Oh, isn't that the cologne that he's wearing, Odogonov?
Yes, it's a new line.
Mine soon, buddy.
Yeah, it's impressive. Look, the reason it's brought up is that John Farrell did work for Mark Shapiro in Cleveland before. And, you know, he's one of the assistants in the office. He looked at the pitching in the organization. And, you know, when he kind of got started before managing, he was working for Shapiro. So, you know, there's a personal relationship and connection there. And then I think people look at it and say, well, they brought John Gibbons back twice. Why wouldn't they consider John Farrell again? But that's a lot different, right? And we all know that it's a lot different. I think it's unlikely. Now, partly why Farrell's name comes up is that, you know, there is some speculation that the Jays are going to be looking for, what we do as general managers is we replace the guy we had with sort of the mirror image, the antithesis of who we had. So if you got a player's manager, you bring in the strict guy after that. If you have a strict guy, you bring in the player's manager after that. And I think that Gibby is probably perceived more as an easygoing sort of veteran manager, and that, you know, if you're going to go younger, you're going to bring in somebody who's a little bit more hands-on and micromanaging and you know, on the young guys, kind of teaching them how to be professionals. And you know, so Farrell's more, not so much of the put your arm around you and hug you and pat you on the back guy as he is sort of more of a stern approach. So that's probably why that name comes up in the connection to Shapiro. The name that I think is more likely is Mike Matheny as getting a good look at the Toronto job. He had success in St. Louis. People can say, well, they let him go and things turned around there. They also completely flipped their roster for the new manager, Mike Schilt, there. And maybe Matheny's, voice had lost its connection with the players, but he is a really good baseball guy, well-respected in the industry, and a guy that, fits sort of the model of the Shapiro Atkins, personality type that they might consider bringing in.
Steve, Shapiro's got to understand that he's probably not the most popular guy in this market. Wouldn't that, baseball executives aren't stupid. They kind of know their perception. It hasn't gone well since he took over, whether it's his fault or it's not his fault, trying to rebuild. You would have to know that Farrell is just, it's just not even an option to do that.
Yeah, no, I think he's not tone deaf, to your point. I think Mark Shapiro is a really smart guy. You know, the issue for Shapiro and Atkins is this position that they're in and the perception that fans have of them, I believe, was inevitable. It was set up that it was going to be this way because, what Alex Anthopoulos did is he went for it. And we celebrate the playoff run. Then they go back the next year. But clearly they were getting older. Those veteran players were going to tail off and go out of the organization. And there was going to be some rebuilding. And when you go from finally getting back to the playoffs and reigniting your fan base and bringing them out, and then, you know, within a couple of years, sort of putting a barrel over the sort of light that got lit again, it can frustrate people. So, but this was somewhat predictable. So it's not a surprise to Shapiro and Atkins that people are a little bit frustrated by it. Their belief is that people will come back once they realize this was the right thing to do and that they are rebuilding, that they're going to bring young players back and they're going to try to turn this into what they had success to do in Cleveland. Maybe they'll have more resources to spend money because it's a different market to do even a bit more than what Cleveland's been able to do with the run of success they put together there.
Does Matheny seem like the more realistic guy because he's a former catcher, he's not that old, and it's not like the fresh face of a Cora or a Boone in New York where it's like they want to be the guy's buddies and help them along with extremely talented teams because the Jays, they don't have that.
Yeah, you know, it feels to me that the Jays, to rebuild, you could go and bring in a young manager and grow with some teeth cutting, right, that they can make some mistakes, and it's not going to matter because you're not going to be competing initially out of the gate anyways, necessarily next year. And so you could grow with a manager. On the other side of it, you know, you could go with a more veteran guy who's not going to make those mistakes, who could be that sort of manager that can manage a young team and the developmental team and turn them into a playoff contending team. You know, managers sometimes get categorized, right, wrong, indifferent. You know, we all label sort of people in the world and in the jobs that they do. And the, so there are the rebuilding managers. Then there's those managers that once you have a winning team, then you bring that guy in. Like, I look at Buck Showalter in Baltimore and think he doesn't want to go through the next 4 years of rebuilding in Baltimore. They, like, he's the guy that gets the most out of what you have to give you a chance to get to the playoffs. But when I talk about rebuilding, he's not there. I don't look at Girardi at this stage of his career as going, like, he started in Miami back in the day. I don't see him going back to Miami and doing it, and I don't necessarily see him coming to Toronto. You know, Matheny's still sort of a step in his in the sort of level of his career below where Girardi has gotten. So I think Girardi waits for that next playoff contender. You know, like the Nationals get frustrated with their manager and they go bring in a Girardi. But you know, the challenge for those guys who have managed and have some experience is that the pay level for managers is different now. Like, Alex Cora and Aaron Boone are making under $1 million a year. You know, Joe Girardi was making $4 million. And the Blue Jays aren't paying Joe Girardi $4 million to manage a rebuilding team and do that. That's not going to work. Matheny, you know, would be somewhere, you know, between where the rebuilding guy or the young managers, rookie managers are, and where Girardi was, where maybe there's a fit there. But I think that the price tag is going to be part of this, and there's going to have to be a level of acceptance of those guys who have managed previously that maybe the money's not there like it used to be for managers.
When you go to the top of the AL East, I mean, do you think it's good for a team to be just dummying the opponents all year long? I think the Red Sox have had some bullpen issues. I mean, they're so good and so far ahead. I'm not sure what you think about that. The Yankees, there's been reports they're calling that a dumpster fire right now, and it's just any other division they're probably leading. What do you make of just beating up on teams so far ahead going into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, there doesn't seem to be a direct correlation when you go back and look at, you know, teams that have run away with it, teams that have done this and that. Some of them go on and win, some of them don't. And, you know, the baseball playoff is rarely about the best team winning at all. It's about the team that plays the best. And you know, that on any given day, you know, the team that's worst in baseball can beat the team that's best in baseball on a given day. It could just happen. And in a short series, funny things can happen. And I have to tell you that I look at the Boston Red Sox right now, and I have I would actually, you know, the problem is that Houston and Cleveland are going to play each other out of the gate and eliminate one or the other. I like both of them more than I like the Boston Red Sox because I think they both have deeper starting pitching. They both have better bullpens. And they both have good offenses. Maybe not as good as Boston, but good offenses. And good pitching can shut down good hitting. I look at the Red Sox. The Red Sox don't have a single starter on their staff that has won a postseason game as a starter. Not a single one. Chris Sale's postseason ERA is higher than David Price's postseason ERA. David Price is the only starter on the team that has wins in the postseason. He has two, and those are both in relief. And so I don't know what to make out of the Red Sox, and their bullpen's a little dicey right now, too, and Mookie Betts' side's a little bit sore right now. I look at the Yankees and think they might just be getting hot at the right time because they're going to, if they win the wild card game, they're going to play the Red Sox, and I could see them beating the Red Sox because Tanaka and Happ are bullpitching really well. If they get Severino right, they've got a much better bullpen than Boston, and I think that you know, momentum matters. And with Aaron Judge coming back into the lineup, I could see the Yankees over the last 10 games start to get hot and run through the Red Sox in that division series.
You talked about Kershaw. I saw one of your tweets today about him reinventing himself before he needed to, and could he be after something else other than the $65 million that is owed to him in the next 2 years? What's better than $65 million over the next 2 years?
Yeah, here's the thing, is that you look at the New York Yankees right now, they don't, you know, you look at their starting staff and think, could they get out on a guy like Kershaw? Would they do 3 years? Because Kershaw, if he waits, you know, he's going to go back out to free agency at 33, and we've learned what the market says about those guys. Mm-hmm. And so if he can squeeze out a third year or a fourth year from somebody, he's already got two, right? But what if the Yankees would say, all right, we'll give you a third year at $33 million a year, $35 million a year, or we'll give you a fourth year to do that. and what other teams might be willing to jump in and give him. So he's not going to get a 5-year, but why not explore if you can get something more than that? Now, I would suspect the Dodgers make a deal there. But the thing you have to think about Kershaw is his velocity is dropping. He's pitching at 91 right now, not 95. And yesterday, for the first time since 2010, he walked more to gain than he struck out. Now, he did it in the playoffs last year, and the strikeout numbers aren't nearly what they've been in the past. He still can manage a game with the best of them, and he's still really good. And I might give him the third year. And you know, make it 3-year deals and maybe even a 4-year deal, but I wouldn't go to a 5-year deal with them. But somebody might. Somebody might.
Great stuff, Steve. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, man.
Terrific, guys. Thanks for having me.
Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB and Jays analyst.